One final week of press start here on KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM to lead us in to the wonderful world of spring break.
Last week. Is the show coming back after spring break?
Oh, yeah. We're not done yet. We're going to be back for 10 more weeks to close out the 2006-2007 academic year.
At least you will be. This is my last live show this week.
Is it really?
It is. I'm skipping town soon.
You better get out of Dodge before the cops find you.
Yeah.
All that nasty work you've done on this show.
I need to do nasty work somewhere else. I need a job.
So you're taking off, huh?
I'm taking off.
We'll officially dub this one right now, the official Dave Hampton Press Start Commemorative Edition.
All right.
It's been really great having you. If I had known... If I had kept it in mind, I suppose, because I did know a little bit, I would have created a nice memorial send-off for you.
Oh, no, it's okay. Well, with any luck, I'll be calling in through Skype or through the phone patch, something like that. I'm sure you haven't heard the last of me.
Oh, good. You're really the star of the show. I find that people who listen are really fans of you and not necessarily
you are too kind. I hear the same about you.
So. Sure you do.
Sure I do, yeah.
Sure you do.
Well, thank you very much. That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah, we'll talk about it a little later on, but it's been nice having you on the show, and I want to say a few words, get all teary-eyed and fuzzy-wuzzy.
Then during the post-show, you'll yell and swear about it, right?
That's the formula. That's how I have it sketched out, yeah. If you've never listened to this show before, it's your weekly look at video games and the gaming industry. For 1 hour every Wednesday morning, we will take you through the ups and downs, highs and lows. The roller coaster of emotions and fun that is gaming. And we'll do it all with a smile on our face. Broadcasting live from the Cal Poly campus in California from the KCPR studios. So,
pretty sure we're still the only radio show about video games on the Central Coast.
I think so too. Hopefully. But
I need to Google it a little bit more.
Google is the answer to everything.
Yeah, serious.
Hopefully, you'll stick around and listen to us because we've got a lot of stuff coming up on the show today. Last week, I do have to apologize because last week I teased the heck out of Hunter Gao from Studio Hunty coming on. And I had one of those moments where I just mixed up the dates of... I mixed up dates and a whole lot of stuff. So it made it seem like on last week's show, you know, we had him scheduled and he didn't call in and we didn't get to talk to him. Well, that wasn't the case. That was entirely my fault. I actually told him, when we arranged it, it was supposed to be today that he was supposed to call in.
Just had your calendar off by week.
Yeah, so I do apologize for that, and hopefully if you listened last week, you're listening now, because today is the day we will be talking to Hunter Gao, bottom of the hour, so stick around, studiohunty.com, and we'll talk about his projects and a whole lot of other stuff. So I do apologize once again for that mix-up, but hopefully it's all remedied this week. Hopefully.
Awesome. I look forward to that.
Yeah, me too. And of course, this week we got news, music, as usual. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can do that in a couple of different ways, the first of which is...
Oh, yeah, that's my cue. The first of which is to send us an email. PressStartKCPR@gmail.com is the address. You can send emails either... before the show, so we'll get them before we sit down to record, or you can send them during the shows, because we check it 3 or 4 times throughout the show, and if we get something that we're pretty sure we can read on the air, we'll usually be really happy to read it.
And if you want to tell Dave how much you're going to miss him, you want to shed some tears and cry and just be a girly man, or a girly girl, if you will, you can do that as well. The other way to get in touch with us is through the website, and that is our podcast website, where you can download each and every week's show. The address, pressstart.thefighting.org. Pressstart.thefighting.org. You can leave comments, subscribe to the podcast, check out our gamer tags in case you want to play us something in Xbox Live. And speaking of Xbox Live, Dave, a 2D classic came out last night for the XBL.
Did it?
A.
Ah, XBL. A friend of mine was sitting there in the afternoon waiting for it to show up because he said, but today's the 20th anniversary or whatever the anniversary was of the game. Being released.
Yeah, 20th.
Some Castlevania anniversary.
Yeah, I
20th. I'm thinking of the Castlevania 20th that was the Portrait of Ruin release. Never mind.
Yes. But Xbox Live Arcade, last night at 2 a.m. or so, did get Castlevania Symphony of the Night, the PlayStation 1 classic. It's 800 points on the marketplace. And it's actually pretty cool. They did like an upgraded mode for people with high def TVs, and then they've got like the normal mode that you may remember from PS1 days.
So what does the upgrade mode get you? It's probably widescreen.
Yeah, widescreen support. And I don't know exactly. Konami and Microsoft didn't go into too much detail, but I know there's widescreen, and I know there's a way to, I don't know if you've played the Ninja Turtles arcade game yet.
A little bit.
You know how you can stretch the screen to fit? Have you ever used that option? You know how there's
no,
a border around
but
the game?
Yeah, I remember the border.
Well, you can stretch the screen up and down and sideways to fit your TV.
Oh, nice.
Customized, so they have that with Castlevania as well, I believe.
Is it actually customized for your TV so you can just, drag a little slider for how big you want it?
I don't know. I haven't played it. I would imagine it's probably the same as the Ninja Turtles game because they've both been ported by Digital Eclipse.
Okay.
So
they do good ports.
Yeah, sometimes. Some of them, sometimes they're a little shoddy, but...
I guess all the ones I've played are good.
Ninja Turtles arcade game was pretty darn good.
That was pretty good, and Phantasy Star Collection on the GBA, mm-hmm. I thought was a very good port.
Digital Eclipse did that one as well. So Castlevania Symphony of the Night, a classic, and I know we've got some Castlevania fans out there who listen to this show, so... If they're listening, they're probably still awake playing Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've never played. The only Castlevania game I've really, put some time into was Circle of the Moon for Game Boy Advance. It was like a launch title.
Oh, yeah.
GBA.
Yeah, I played about two-thirds of the way through that before I got stuck because it was too hard for
me. I got stuck about two-thirds of the way through as well.
Is that
interesting.
Arena?
It might have been, yeah. I thought it was fun, but then I got stuck and I never felt compelled to finish it. And since then, I've never played any other Castlevania game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I've been told, that Symphony of the Night is the best Castlevania game, and I'm kind of curious whether I should pick it up or not.
Well, I honestly can't. I'm divided there. I think I had as much fun with Dawn of Sorrow on the DS as I had with Symphony of the Night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty high praise, because I love Symphony.
Okay.
So, but, if I were recommending you a Castlevania game, and you could only pick up one Castlevania game, Symphony of the Night is by far the cheapest, because it's Xbox Live Arcade.
Right. 800 points, not too much money. Do you think I would enjoy it?
I think you'd enjoy it. I think it harkens back to the kinds of games I've seen you like. It's very, very Metroid-esque.
Okay.
You run around through the castle, you have to... The joke was Metroidvania. All the games are Metroidvania. You start off with some weapons, you have to go through the castle, you're like, man, why can't I get past this section? Then later on, you're like, oh, I have to turn into some kind of animal to get through here.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds cool. Yeah. I could definitely get on board with that. We'll see.
Yeah, make sure you beat it the right way.
Which is...
Great surprise for you if you get the good ending.
Okay. Well, I hope... Is it something, like, really obscure? I remember one of the Castlevanias, like, there was some, like, secret thing where the only way you could trigger it is, like, you go to the edge of, like, a cliff, like, where there's a bottomless pit, and kneel down, and then...
No, that was Castlevania 2 on the NES, and actually that was required to beat the game.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
What is that about?
I never did figure that game out. I had to download one of the FAQs on the internet to figure it out.
Is Symphony of the Night the good ending, something like that?
The good ending is how you beat the boss.
Okay.
There's a right and a wrong way to beat the boss, and... Hunter Gao from Studio Hunter will know what you're talking about because his, I believe it's his blog is named after it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is a perfect, perfect show for him to call in then because I've got to ask him about this Castlevania thing.
Tell him I won't tell you what it is.
We'll be speaking with Hunter Gao once again from Studio Hunty at 10:30 this morning or thereabouts, bottom of the hour. So, you don't want to miss that. So that's the Xbox Live Arcade release this week, and also for the Nintendo Wii, you've got three games. Splatterhouse came out. Yes, it came out. It's available for download. And so did Excitebike.
On two totally different sides of the spectrum. On the one hand, racing bikes. On the other hand, you're like, beat monsters with sticks until they explode. That game is really violent.
Yeah. Well, especially back in the day when it was out. I mean, today it might be laughable, kind of, because it's 2D and pixel,
Actually, I played Splatterhouse 2 on the Genesis,
uh-huh.
And I was amazed how violent it still was.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty gratuitous.
A true testament to the humanity's dark side, I guess.
Yeah, really. And all electronics are used for violence and porn when they first come out. You can measure their success by how much it envelops these two genres.
Well, Sony's got some work to do because that Blu-ray thing, I mean, are we on board with both of those things on the Blu-ray yet?
Oh, Blu-ray.
That sounded like a very loaded You were like,
I just can't bring myself to justify it.
Not yet.
I honestly think for all of my Sony bashing in like 3 years, I'm probably 3-4 years, maybe I'll get a PlayStation 3. They've got, the PlayStation Home seems, if they play it up like The Sims or like Second Life, that seems like something I might play. I mean, I play World of Warcraft mostly to, run around and see the sights. yeah. which is probably what I'll do in that game. And then Little Big Planet looked like tons of fun. If they start getting some games like this, if they start pushing the fighting games like I think they might be, you know, if you start getting new Guilty Gears on there because they've got Tekken and they've got Virtua Fighter, then, you know, that seems like a system I might actually pick up.
Or Lair. How cool is Lair looking, man? You fly dragons around and, like, fight other people in the sky. It's like an air combat game with dragons.
Draken? Or, no, not Draken. What was it?
Drakengard?
Maybe it was Draken. Order of the Flame, whatever it was. It was an old PC game.
Oh, okay.
And you did exactly that, and it was tons of fun.
Yeah, well, it's going to be like that, except next-gen style. It's developed by the guys who did the Rogue Squadron games, Factor 5. So, that you know, if you've got flight game pedigree, it's Factor 5, and one with dragons is going to be awesome.
Factor 5. Wait, what else have they done? I swear
Rogue
I played
Squadron.
Something by them.
And they did the Rogue Squadron games on the N64 and the GameCube. Star Wars Rogue Squadron.
I don't think that was the game I played.
Oh. Well, I think they did a couple others as well.
What game was it? It was like, it was a PC game that I think came out in 1994 that I played by them.
Really?
Some sort of ace pilot or, you know, it was a proper flight sim game.
That wouldn't surprise me if it turns out to be them. They're big on the flight game genre.
I need to play more flight games.
Well, speaking of that, you will be able to very soon because, well, we won't go into it just yet. We'll come to the news after our first music break. But a very notorious, renowned flight series has jumped ship from the PlayStation 3.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. We'll be talking about
that. That is a good series.
It's been a bad week for Sony. I'll just say that much. We've got a couple of announcements that Sony fans are not quite happy about and... Well, if you haven't heard yet, we'll get to it, and you're not probably going to like this too much.
If you're a Sony fan, this won't faze you because you're just used to it, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, by now, hopefully.
But on the other hand, if you're not a Sony fan, well, you can keep making fun of it because it costs you nothing to yell about it. That's why I do.
Of course. And also in the news, we got talk about... in addition to that Sony news, we've got talk about... some new games for the 360 and Wii... Specifically the Wii, big rumor going around right now, and new games for the 360 that have sort of been rumored. One of them has been confirmed, and your friends at Orange Lounge Radio have talked a little bit about another.
If you weren't going to, I was going to.
Okay. Well, we'll get to all of that coming up, so make sure you stick around. There's a lot to talk about. If you got something to say, once again, the email, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com, and the website, pressstart.thefighting.org. This is Press Start on KCPR, San Luis Obispo, 91.3 FM. A little God of War medley right there for you. Of course, Gerard, the second song is by Chris Velasco, but Gerard Marino is the other composer on the God of War soundtrack. That was The Vengeful Spartan, followed by Minotaur Battle.
I'd actually never played that game until just a few days ago.
Isn't it awesome?
It is a lot of fun.
It is blood splattering, evisceratingly awesome.
It is, yeah. You do have to kind of like blood,
yeah,
to find this game entertaining. It's pretty brutal.
I think my favorite part of that game, I don't know if you've gotten this far yet, but you know, when you're low on health, you can rip apart an innocent civilian with your bare hands to gain health.
Oh,
yeah.
That's disturbing. No, I haven't gotten there.
Those innocent Athenians.
I pretty much played the first level.
Okay. Well, there are a couple civilians in the first level. I don't know. I guess you were the nice guy and didn't, you know, do anything wrong.
Actually, I swung at one of them just to see if they had collision on it.
Uh-huh.
But either I missed or they don't.
Yeah. Well, if you grab them with the circle button and then tear them apart, you get health out of them.
Oh, that's rude.
It's a little bit more than rude, I think.
I guess it's in character because the guy is this twisted, evil, you know, kill people.
He's a Spartan! It's not exactly a, you know, great icebreaker at a party to just kind of rip the people in half to feel better about yourself.
I guess it's one of those things, like, you know, you're hitting on somebody and they're like, sorry, I have it, you're not anymore. There's your icebreaker.
A little bit more, the backbreaker. You call that the icebreaker and the backbreaker.
So now that 300 has come out and, you know, everyone's playing God of War, I guess Spartan is synonymous with kills people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Buff guy, not wearing much, who kills people.
You think 300 should have had those chain swords? I haven't seen it yet. Maybe it does.
You haven't seen 300 yet, man?
No, not yet.
Oh, it was a great movie.
I was playing God of War.
It was a lot different than I thought it was going to be, but if you're playing God of War, you're in that mindset now. You're in that Spartan, Hellenic, like, period, so you need to go see it. And I'm just going to, like, wave my fist in this thing that I'm doing.
He's actually doing it.
Yeah.
You guys can't see this. This is great radio. But he is actually waving his fist around the studio.
I'm in that mood now. You know, you've got me pumped. Want to go?
All right.
Well, I won't continue that thought. But let's this week, let's get to the news. All right, so we got a bunch of different stories. We teased them just a little while ago. Let's start with the... we'll save that one for last because it's my favorite. But let's start with the one I talked about before, the Flight series that has jumped ship.
There are only a few big Flight series going on right now, and I'm pretty sure Microsoft Flight Simulator hasn't jumped.
No, that's staying firmly in the PC realm, possibly the Xbox if they decide to bring it there. But Namco... I screwed that
Namco.
One up. Bandai Namco is the company.
Namco is Namco's little sister.
It's like mini Pac-Man.
They make Barbie Horse Adventure spinoffs.
Oh, God. No. Namco Bandai Namco. That's the order. Get it right. God, why do I keep wanting to do that? We'll just
I bet Namco is actually, you know, some crazy Quake player.
Namco?
Yeah, Namco's little sister. I bet she's actually like one of the frag dolls or something.
Oh, yeah.
She's actually probably running around winning tournaments.
I don't want this to get out, but, you know, do you find the frag dolls hot at all? Do you find them physically attractive?
I don't know too much about them. I've heard of them. I haven't really seen any pictures of them, so I have no idea.
I mean, for being sort of this, like, you know, Ubisoft is pushing them as sort of like this hot gamer girl group who plays games and they're hot. They aren't really hot, that hot.
I have understood, because I read a couple articles about them. I understand the idea was to take a bunch of models and make them play games, but I understand they win tournaments. Like, I understand they're actually pretty good at what they do, so it's hard to say. Everybody talks about them because they're female.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know.
Well, which is why we don't... I mean, that's kind of a stupid reason to sort of gain publicity, so I try not to talk about them, but...
Well, I mean, you know, most of the time when I'm... Yeah, oh, I understand. When I, you know, find some competitive group or whatever that I like or that I follow, it's usually because either I know somebody who knows somebody who knows one of them, and so there's a connection, and I say, oh, how's that guy doing?
So you're a groupie.
Yeah, either I'm a groupie or they're winning.
Oh.
And so I'm following them because they're winning.
Okay.
So... I don't know.
So you're a groupie and a bandwagon fan together. That's pretty special, Dave.
Yes, I'm on the group wagon.
Okay. Sounds fun. Sounds fun in the back of that wagon. Anyways, Bandai Namco announced that the Ace Combat series is jumping ship from the PS3 to the Xbox 360. Ace Combat 6 is going to be a 360 title. Coming, who knows when, no release date yet.
That'll look
great. It does look great.
The PS2 games already look amazing.
Oh, yeah. And, I've never played an Ace Combat game before in my life, and I now I think I'm going to start, because check this out. The Xbox 360 version, Ace Combat 6, it's going to have online multiplayer. You're going to have free-for-all modes, you're going to have team deathmatch, and you're also going to have an online co-op mode where you and a squadron take on some, like, AI-controlled computer force together. Mm. It's going to have all those huge aerial battles that the Ace Combat series is known for. It's going to have a single-player mode, of course. The graphics look amazing, and it's on the Xbox 360. How great is that? So I'm excited for this game. I love flight sims. The last one I played was Air Force Delta for the Dreamcast.
Oh wow!
But I
enjoyed
it
much, huh?
Yeah, I do like them. There hasn't been one that's really appealed to me recently. But
I have this on again, off again relationship with Sims. On the one hand, I love them because they have a million controls that you can configure, and half of the fun is learning how to pilot the craft. Things like free space and flight sims, like Sims. But then on the other hand, it takes me 3 hours to get the game going because I want to configure all the buttons on the joysticks. And
yeah,
then I'm just kind of done.
Yeah,
I don't normally play games for more than a couple hours at a time.
I got a friend who has a really nice flight simulator setup. He's got a really nice stick, throttle, and pedal setup. Got his computer.
Nice.
Looks nice. He's an aerospace engineering major, so but you are.
I wonder if I know him.
Maybe.
There's a guy I ran into who's got the flight sim on campus. He's trying to get it to run free space. I got to play around with that thing for about 5 minutes.
That's
that was
right,
great.
I was actually asking my friend about that flight sim, and he said it wasn't done yet, but I would really like to take it for a test drive.
Go at Cal Poly's open house.
Yeah, that's what he was telling me.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways, Ace Combat 6 coming to the Xbox 360. And in fact, if you want to get a look at the game, we over at GamesAreFun.com have some scans from the Famitsu issue outlining what the game's going to look like. It's all in Japanese, of course, but if you want an idea, some great visuals there. GamesAreFun.com is the top story right now. And also for the Xbox 360, this was the other news, and Dave, you're going to be really happy about this one.
Yeah.
Telltale Games announced that they are beginning work on Sam & Max for the Nintendo Wii and the Xbox 360.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
So
it's a good thing I haven't dropped the money on the PC ones yet.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're going to be the same or they're going to be different, but they're talking about maybe having the same model where it's episodic and you download them.
Oh, yeah. I hope it's different.
Online. You hope it's different?
Just because there's more Sam & Max out there.
Yeah.
Because then I can get, one on one machine, then I can get another on the other, and get more game.
Right, I see what you mean. I think they're going to be the same, the Wii and 360 versions.
That's okay. Well, console version, PC version.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see what you say. Well, yeah, and they're talking about, they don't know if it's going to be an actual, solid-state media game where you buy it, or if it's going to be downloadable. I think they're leaning towards downloadable, episodic in nature, so that's good news for Sam & Max fans.
Yeah.
And Wii fans as well.
Every time I go to try and think about buying the Sam & Max collection, I look at the stack of adventure games I have, and while I love Sam & Max, I have like 15 unfinished adventure games. And I'm thinking, oh man, I should just play more of these. So I do.
Plus unfinished beat-em-ups, plus unfinished Shadow of the Colossus.
Well, I got to the point where I can't say I have too many games. I have to do it by genre now.
Okay. It's too big, too massive,
too
an
much
undertaking.
Stuff. Been collecting games for too many years. I'm actually packing all my stuff up right now and realizing just how much by volume I have.
Yeah, I every year when I pack my stuff up, that happens. I can't believe it.
Oh, is it just the games
where
in particular have ballooned?
Yeah.
I know where it all goes. It all goes on this big shelf I have.
Too bad you just can't carry that
on your
back. The
shelf has more volume than it looks like it does. So anyway, good times.
Good times. Your friends over at Orange Lounge Radio are reporting that this is another Namco game, by the way. Namco has announced a new version of Katamari Damacy is coming to the Xbox 360, the PlayStation 3, and the Nintendo Wii this year. It's called Beautiful Katamari, and it will be out sometime in 2007.
So I actually listened to that episode where they announced that, and one of their guys is works in, I think, distribution, and gets these dates beforehand. Apparently they're all public knowledge, it's just nobody bothers to check them. So he's been doing this for 2 years, releasing these dates before anyone else does. And this is the first time anybody else has reported on it.
Well,
at one point, someone said a little-known gaming website has mentioned this, but we think it's a rumor. And that was like 6 months
ago.
And
it wasn't true.
No, it was true. Like 3 months later, it was on release dates everywhere, on like IGN. But now everybody hears this because it has Katamari in it. Now everybody's crediting them.
Yeah, well,
just thinking, ah, ha, 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 ha.
Here are the exact dates for you. Beautiful Katamari, October 17th is the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions, and November 14th is the Nintendo Wii version.
Furthermore, they're both budget priced.
Yeah, they are. For their respective systems, they are budget priced. So that's a nice gesture. It's funny that they're budget priced because Namco could easily get away with charging full price because there's such a fan base for the games, but they don't. So.
Yeah, and that's awful nice of them. Yeah. Well, I guess it means people who don't want... I think the people who really take those games super seriously are still in the minority, and so that lets everybody enjoy them. And for a word-of-mouth game, that's great.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, a lot of Katamari fans. So the series returns come this fall. That's good news.
I believe the original creator is no longer involved, however.
That's right. That is correct.
He wanted to go back to playground equipment or whatever it was he did.
Well, hopefully it gets rolled up, you know, by a giant alien dude.
I got it.
Yeah, okay. Just, I don't know. All right, we're going to take one music break, and hopefully when we come back, I'm going to cross both of my fingers this time. We'll have Hunter Gao on the show from Studio Hunty. We're going to talk to him about his projects and whatnot. So stick around. We'll continue the news after that. There's a lot more to come on Press Start.
He who I could much since then, I've changed. I can do so much more now. But he's changed too. He is surely no longer the boy he was years ago. Will he welcome me with open arms or clenched sword? Either way, I will be back, back.
Welcome back to Press Start on KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. There's one thing I've learned this week, Dave.
What's that?
It's that certain people are enigmas.
Enigmas?
Enigmas. Still no Hunter Gao.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I feel like I've gone into some sort of time warp where, like, it's always the week after that he's supposed to come on the show, you know?
Oh. They may have gotten tied up.
Yeah, it's possible.
That's too bad. I was looking forward to talking to him. But, of course, I was last week, too. So, I mean, I guess...
That's what I mean. It's like, you're always just, like, one step behind.
Maybe we were mistaken, and it's actually last week.
Well, in any case, we will try, once again, we will try and get him on the line. In the meantime, we've got some other big stories to talk about, including another PlayStation to Xbox ship-jumping phenomenon. This time it's from Capcom. Devil May Cry 4 is no longer a PS3 exclusive. It is going multi-platform, and it's coming to the Xbox 360 as well as the PlayStation 3 simultaneous release. This is no, you know, timed exclusive like Virtua Fighter 5. This is coming to both systems at the same time.
Oh, okay, so they're just, you know, whatever Sony was paying them to be exclusive is no longer an issue. That's too bad for Sony. But
yeah, maybe they didn't pay him enough, or maybe they didn't pay him at all. Who knows? But now the Microsoft fans and Xbox 360 owners can experience the action-packed glory that is Devil May Cry series. Devil May Cry 4 comes out later this year. August is when they're targeting the release, so you know, that's huge. That's a big deal. I mean, you know, it's not stealing... You're not really necessarily taking away the game from the PS3, but, you know, that's one less reason people would need to buy one for DMC4, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
Kind of reminds me of, what is it about, like, third parties jumping ship with their huge titles? I mean, this is not necessarily a ship jump per se, but it's more of a strategic spreading of resources, I guess.
I think they're just not convinced they're going to sell the numbers on the PS3.
Yeah.
They would.
Well, given the sales numbers in the last couple of months for the PS3, I'm inclined to agree with them. Not doing too hot in the market. But here's, it seems weird to me. It kind of reminds me of the decision Squaresoft made to bring FF7 to the PS1 mm-hmm. instead of the N64 like they originally planned. You know, this is not the same situation, but it seems like, you know... It seems like, you know, the market leader in their consoles, you know, you had Nintendo already, they had a killer franchise, and then all of a sudden it jumps ships to the competitor. Well, here you are with Sony, the market leader, at least with the PS2, got a great franchise, and all of a sudden it moves to a competitor as well, and it's kind of like...
Well, if I recall correctly, Final Fantasy VII moved to the PlayStation because the PlayStation had CDs, whereas the N64 was still using cartridges.
Well, right. It's not an exact parallel, but...
Right. Well, so I think there is a parallel, though, because they wanted something they couldn't get on the other system. And in this case, they wanted market share. Because, I mean, if the PS3 is designed for, you know, the smaller, hardcore crowd that's going to pay more money for things, well, a software developer is going to look at that and say, no, if my game is cheaper, I can still sell far more, you know, the optimal point is to sell far more units at that price point that they have. So they're going to put it on the system with a greater installed base. I think you're going to see a lot of ports to the Wii for this reason, just because the installed base is currently equal to the number of devices that Nintendo can produce.
Yeah. That's probably right, although you won't see, like, Devil May Cry 4 coming to the Wii.
Probably not. But I think you'll see a lot of other smaller places looking for the most possible buyers.
Yeah. I can see that happening, definitely. You know, people who develop games like Ninja Bread Man, etc.
That's a PS2 game, though, isn't it?
Coming to the Wii, that's right.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Ah. So,
well then.
So anyways, that is huge news in the gaming world this week. Devil May Cry 4 going to be a multi-platform title. The other sort of huge news is this rumor that's sort of picking up steam around the gaming community. Essentially, a British magazine... Official Nintendo magazine reported that next month they're going to have a huge exclusive about a return of a classic franchise to the Nintendo Wii. Lots of speculation about what it could be. They posted a picture, their sort of spread in the magazine is a picture of stars and galaxies, and it says world exclusive, and in fact the stars actually sort of make a shape, and I mean it's not just a random assortment of stars, they're sort of made in like an ordered, you know, ordered shape or something. So some resourceful guy on the internet, he took the image of the stars arranged as such, and he superimposed over the stars a picture of the main character from Nights, mm-hmm. Nights into Dreams.
Well, so the rumor's been flying around ever since the Wii was created that Nights was going to be,
right.
You know, even before it was called the Wii, people were saying, oh, Nights is totally going to come out on this.
Yes. And, you know, it's been, it's sort of gotten hot, and then it falls back into obscurity for a while, and, you know, no one's really mm-hmm. sure. And now you get this superimposed picture where the stars exactly match up to the shape of Knight's guy and his cool swoopy cape thing here.
It looks
thing,
like
the moon,
errors
actually.
Between the picture he superimposed and the star outline could be, you know, as little as what you get from scanning an image if your scanner's
right.
a little slow.
Right.
It kind of stretches it.
So that's huge. And if you want to take a look at this yourself, head on over to gamesarefun.com. It's under the title Knights to be on Wii.
Well, it better be Knights, because if it's not, everyone's getting hyped up and they're going to be like, oh,
yeah,
it's another game.
Well, I mean, there is some strong... I mean, there's so much smoke here. There's got to be a fire somewhere. Whether it's a virtual console release of Knights signifying that Saturn games are coming to the Wii, or if it's a brand new Knights.
Oh, I hope it's a new Knights. I've already got Knights on the Saturn.
I'm kind of worried if it's a new Knights, just because, you know, Sega, everything... They're like King Midas to the -1 power. Everything they touch turns from gold to crap.
Actually, I think their new Sonic game is really good. Not the 360, like,
I know.
Sonic,
Secret
Sonic
Wings.
And the Secret Rings.
Yeah, yeah.
Feels, when you start playing that game, what I think is correctly, it starts feeling like the old Sonic games, and which is pretty much what I wanted it to be. So, yeah, I'm having a blast
well,
with that game.
I will give you this. The best Sonic games in the past couple years have come out on Nintendo systems.
That's a good point, huh?
Sonic Rush was the other one.
Sonic Rush, yeah.
Sonic and the Secret Rings.
And the Secret Rings, and a couple of people liked Heroes.
Yeah, like you.
Everybody, actually, I didn't really play it much, but I liked what I played. The guy I know who played it a whole lot really, really got into it.
I played it a couple of times. It was kind of weird, but it was pretty cool. I mean, cool take on it. It was cool that they brought back some of the classic characters in that game mm-hmm. from, like, you know, obscure Sonic titles.
Stuff they're doing in the Secret Rings, though, is ridiculous.
Is it?
Like, all the Sonic characters. So the whole idea is it's like this one-off story that you get. You know when people would make mascot games, they'd have game number one, game number two, and they're like, game number three would always be some weird... you know, offshoot into some, like, time travel or something weird like that. Well, in this one, Sonic gets sucked into the Book of the Arabian Nights and runs around meeting characters from it, and it's kind of an excuse to theme a bunch of Sonic levels after Arabian Nights. But, yeah, so Alibaba is Tails. And Sinbad is Knuckles. And it's just like, what?
Knuckles.
What is going on? They even have Sonic act all incredulous. Like, what? Hi, Tails. He's like... My name's not Tails. My name's Alibaba. And you're looking at him like, you're a fox with two tails.
Sounds quality. Sounds
the cutscenes are pretty silly.
Oh, man.
Gameplay's a lot of fun, though.
Well, can you imagine if they turned Knights into something like that? I mean, hopefully not.
If they turned it like something like the Secret Rings, I think it would work really well on the Wii. Move the camera behind the character and make the same mechanic of flying around and learning how to fly so you pick everything up well. The whole fun of that game
hope.
Was about flying.
It was, yeah.
And, you know, the Wii would be great for it. The whole Sonic runs himself in this game. He runs forward, and it's your job to figure out what he does while he's running forward. You can stop him if you want him to, but as soon as you let go, he runs forward. You can't qualify how fast he runs forward. He just accelerates. So it's, you know...
Knights was kind of similar.
Knights was
just
like that. Yeah. I mean, everybody loved that. It's, I mean, your guy's going to move. It's your job to start turning him.
I think if it becomes a virtual console release, just like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles... arcade game for the Xbox 360, I think a lot of it's going to run on nostalgia, and I think that a lot of people are going to remember or recognize that maybe it wasn't as good as it used to be back in the day, given the advancements we have. Like, when I played the Ninja Turtles arcade game, I was like, oh, I love this. I used to play this in the arcades when I was a kid. And, I mean, now I can say, well, it's really not that good of a game. I mean, it's a quarter-eating, you know, side-scrolling beat-em-up. You know, the gameplay, there's two buttons and seven levels. So, I don't know. I can recognize that it's not, you know, not being that great of a game, but having played the original, I can say, well, I still enjoy this because it brings back memories. I think Knights is going to be the same way.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't play Knights until about, 2 years ago?
Okay.
So my first experience with it has been after playing video games for most of my life.
What'd you think of it, buddy?
I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Cool game.
I didn't get it for a long time. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite figure out what I was supposed to be doing. I was just kind of like, wee! Just flying around, having a good time, clearing the level, not really realizing that I was supposed to be collecting things. Then it got even more fun when I figured out how to collect things. I learned the route through the level to get all the best stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, that's
great.
That's the rumor. Hopefully it's true, because that one, to me, between that and No More Heroes, I could see myself getting a Nintendo Wii for that.
You're going to get a Wii. You know, you're trying to get in line to get one for a while, and then you decided you didn't want one.
Yeah, well, that was a difficult time.
It's difficult because there aren't any Wiis.
Yeah, well, there still aren't, and I'm still pretty peeved at Nintendo. But, you know, I've really got to see some third-party commitment before I do that. And I'm also, you know, if the price drops, I'll definitely get one. Waiting on a price drop. Same for the PS3.
You'll be one of those Wii 60 guys.
Yeah, possibly.
That's what my house is right now.
Or PS Wii 60.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole point of the Wii 60 idea was it was Microsoft kind of pushing this, hey, why don't you buy our system and get Nintendo's on the side? You can play serious games on ours and casual games on theirs.
Exactly.
And Sony, who's Sony?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. The last news story, and this one is my favorite of the week. No, it's not this ad for America's, well, hottest college girl 2007.
What kind of website are you on?
GameSpot.com, okay?
Oh, okay.
The flash ad.
I see.
The story is a German university study finds that racing gamers, gamers who play racing games, are more prone to, when they drive, taking higher risks, doing high-risk driving maneuvers and behavior.
Probably because video games appeal to the kinds of people who want to do that in real life. Big surprise there. Okay, well, continue before I start knocking.
Munich's Ludwig Maximilians University at the Allianz Center for Technology. They found basically, you know, racing game players, they engage, quote-unquote, engage in risk-taking behavior when driving, which is more often. 198 men and women went through this study, and they had them play a racing game and see what kind of their behavior was, and they got their thoughts about driving and whatnot.
So, I see that sentence in there. Where was it? The study's initial sample of 198 men and women eventually was narrowed down to 68 men. So, how are they narrowing this down? I mean, I understand it's probably a pretty prestigious place as it has both the names Maximilian and Ludwig in it, both of which are pretty, important sounding.
Only in Germany.
But I just kind of have to question their conclusions here.
It's probably like ITT Tech of Germany, and like there are Germans listening right now, and they're just laughing at us. Like, I can't believe they think it's some prestigious university. No, I want to know if playing Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2007 will make me prone to be a better golfer.
I think if you're a good golfer, you're more prone to play a golf game. Like, the problem with video games is with all of these studies that they do about them, and I realize that I don't have any evidence to back that up, but it's kind of hard to have that when I'm about to say that studies are kind of missing the point. All these studies about games are all like, well, let's check people who play a certain kind of game and let's see what it makes them do. Well, they're assuming this one-way, you know, implication of what goes on. The problem with video games and checking people who play video games is that that's a medium that people are choosing to ally themselves with. It's the same with a lot of entertainment things. So, sure, what kinds of kids play gory, violent video games? Well, it's probably those people who are...
Gory, violent kids!
Yeah. No, and it, you know, if you take a look at a whole bunch of kids and do the same study and say, of kids who do all of these terrible things that we're trying to condemn, how many of them play games? And I think you would find a much smaller correlation if you looked at it that way. Than
possibly.
If you said, look at all... So, okay, most of the kids, let's say, who like games with, say, gang violence... are involved in gangs. Let's assume that's true. It's not, but it is. It is for the sake of
take
discussion.
Take a stand. Don't be wishy-washy. Okay, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's not true, but let's assume it is for the sake of discussion. I would say that if you looked at all kids who liked gang-related games and saw that they were all in gangs, you would say, video games create gang members. But if you took that back around and you say, let's look at all kids who are in gangs, how many of them play games, I think you'd find a lot less. And, I mean, that's a ridiculous statement to base something off of, because I know lots of people who enjoyed Grand Theft Auto who were, you know, outright condemn urban violence, but, you know, I think it illustrates the point pretty well. So, I really kind of question a lot of these studies. I think there needs to be kind of an overhaul in the general acceptance of how these things are taken before we can start getting results that I think are worth listening to.
But Ludwig Maximilian University.
Should forerun this change? And they should take both of their amazing sounding names and say, look, both Maximilian and Ludwig say that we should be looking at video games like this. And you know, I think they could create some change.
Can you do a German accent well, by the way?
No, not at all.
No, can you try on the air?
No. I can't even do a British accent, and that's pretty much where my entire family is from.
Well, that's poppycock.
Where are you from?
That wasn't my best. I'm from, I don't know. I'm from America, I guess.
The only accents I ever picked up were from listening to Monty Python, and therein lies my problem.
Yes. Well, Monty Python's classic, you know.
It's great. The problem is, you know, then I talk with all the other people who are quoting it, and they're all doing it wrong. So, no, I can't get a good accent to save my life.
Okay, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's too bad.
What happens if you might be kidnapped and, like, someone will tell you speak in an accent or we're going to kill you?
Well, you know, I said I couldn't do it if my life depended on it. Doesn't mean I won't try if my life does depend on it. Well, I mean, okay, so Sean
better
Connery.
Hope not very
Sean Connery got
cultured.
Voted as having the worst British accent of, like, all film actors in, like, 2005.
Isn't
like
he, like, Welsh or
it was a big joke. Oh, it was okay. A big joke award ceremony. And he's doing great. But, yeah, so he has this award sitting up at home, I'm sure.
Well, that's a great tangent we got off on accents and whatnot. But Ludwig Maximilian University, I'm going to keep an eye on them. I may go there for my graduate studies. Who knows?
You just please do, actually. That would be totally cool.
I find it ironic that this study about driving behavior is coming from the country with no speed limits on their highways, you know, with the fastest driving allowance in
the
world.
Well, that's just on one highway, though, isn't it?
The Autobahn.
Yeah.
But, that's a major highway.
You don't think that's
Germany.
Where they did the study, did you?
That would further complicate things.
Yeah. Actually, I would, you know, because there are people who play Burnout obsessively, for example. When they're driving down the street, they start thinking about what they can do. And I've watched friends who used to play Grand Theft Auto. Like, they'll see a cop car and they'll think, like, they'll start planning out the route of how they would go in, get the shotgun, run around, how they would create whatever mayhem.
But I think...
No one does it that I've ever seen. But, you know, the fact that the thoughts are there may be worth something.
Well, I think that's true with any game, though. I mean, you spend enough time playing a game, you get that. With Tony Hawk's Pro Skater was the big thing. I used to, like, look around and, like, see things that I could grind on. I would, like, for example, walking out of high school one day, I was like, okay, I'll grind along the top of that chain link fence, ollie into the top of the bungalow, do a,
yeah,
you know.
And it's because you're trained to look at it and think about it. But, you know, how much does that actually matter? Does the fact that we're looking at it mean that we are predisposed towards doing something about it? I don't necessarily think so.
No,
because you can
either.
Learn all sorts of things in school and not be predisposed towards those.
I never felt compelled to grind on the side of a building rooftop, you know, 20 feet above the ground.
Yeah, you know, I just... Even just stand, if I were skateboarding around in a park, I honestly would like... It seems to me that video games and reality are too different, and that goes for any entertainment medium. You know, I don't listen to evil music and, you know, then run around and go kill people. And I listen to some pretty evil music. You know,
but you're still such a nice guy. I think, right? I think that's true.
Yeah, despite.
Yeah. No, and that's the other thing, too. Remember Lumines? I see falling blocks into everything. It's the same kind of thing. I think it's just
being... Yeah, people who listen to rock songs and see Guitar Hero notes coming in. Just, you know, these people are not necessarily going to act on all of this.
Yeah. Well, it's just, when you have a specific mental focus for so long, it's like afterwards you're still in that state, you know? I don't know.
Well, and games are so great because they have that, you know, periodic reward system. Like, you're getting a reward once every couple of, you know, minutes in a music game. Like, you're passing a song or you're playing a really cool section or something like that. When I used to play DDR, I'd see arrows falling whenever I, you know, sat there and think about how I would write out a song. I'd be like, oh, yeah. I'd make it go like this. That would be really cool.
Human mind is a strange thing, yeah, definitely. Before we leave today, I do want to mention I beat Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney, Justice for All, finally.
Awesome.
And now I've moved on to Hotel Dusk.
I was playing that last
room
night.
Room 215. How far are you?
I am most of the way, I believe, through the second chapter.
Okay. I'm on chapter... I just got to chapter 5 last night.
How much have you played this game?
A lot in the past couple of days.
Wow.
But that is a testament to the quality and fun that is to be found in Hotel Dusk.
You're crazy, man.
Definitely a different style of game. I mean, it's a similar style, but different sort of pace than the Phoenix Wright games. It's grittier.
This is a proper adventure game.
Yes.
Yeah, as opposed to what's basically an interactive novel.
Yes. Though I would qualify Hotel Dusk as an interactive novel more so than an adventure game, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I would, but I'm finding this game to be phenomenal. I mean, it does so many things right. The writing is fantastic. I mean, each character, you can tell because it's very subtle, but each character speaks very differently when they're talking to you. And your character that you play, Kyle Hyde, has a very different method of talking to people. And it really comes through. I mean, it's really tough to get this when it's a text-based game to get sort of different characterization through dialogue. But this game, I mean, is one of the best examples I've seen of that in a long time.
It reminds me of Full Throttle. You have to play your character. if you try to play how you in real life would do it, you probably won't get anywhere.
Yeah, I find that a lot too. You got to sort of step into the mind of Kyle Hyde, not necessarily.
Well, yeah, Kyle yells at people. Kyle gets in their faces.
Yeah.
Just like in Full Throttle. You play, you know, a butt kicking biker. If, you know, somebody's giving you trouble, you punch him out. Like, you cannot be nice all the time, like most people want to in games. Or you can't be outright rude all the time, because sometimes that'll get you in trouble.
What I love about Hotel Dusk is this sort of, I mean, it's kind of film noir, but not necessarily film noir. I thought it was going to be more film noir than it is, but it's sort of, I mean, it's really, there's no, like, it's mature, I guess. I mean,
it's just a trench coat detective story.
Yeah, but I mean, it's well presented,
I
think.
It's a really good trench coat detective
story. Yeah, it's really awesome.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, and it takes place inside this hotel in Los Angeles, and basically it's sort of this guy, you play Kyle Hyde, ex-cop, trying to find traces of his friend who he shot. And you meet these strange people in this hotel, and you go through, and they all sort of have connections to this place called Hotel Dusk where they're staying, and you sort of learn by talking to them and interacting through the hotel you learn about their histories and their past, but you also find that a lot of the details and memories they have about Hotel Dusk connect to your sort of main quest.
So a lot of games like this have these unusually convenient showing ups of characters.
Yeah.
I have discovered so far that it's not one of those like, whoa, it's a big coincidence.
Yeah.
At least as long as I am in the game, it seems that the characters who are there because events were already set in motion that brought them there.
And it makes logical sense, too, to have certain characters where they are. Like, for example, I mean, this whole game, it takes place in the span of one night. So each chapter is either half hour or an hour in the game time.
Right.
And it takes place in this hotel. It's a two-story hotel. It's not very big. I mean, as a game world, it's one of the smallest game worlds for the DS, definitely, that I can remember.
They did a good job with that because it's just big enough to give you more places to explore, but it's just small enough that pretty much every place means something.
Exactly. And never feels confined. You never feel trapped. I mean, there's enough going on with what's going on in the story and the characters that you never feel trapped inside the hotel. It's just, you're in a hotel, and it feels like that. It feels natural.
And the biggest compliment I can give this game right now, the puzzles make sense.
Yes.
This is Sing, who did Trace Memory, where the puzzles were out of nowhere, and some of them were just like, what? This is dumb. They're going to explain this later. No, they didn't. And so in this game, everything makes perfect sense. Everything is tied in with the world. Mm-hmm. It's like they really learned from their first game. Now they're like, okay, instead of having an object manipulation puzzle here, we're going to give you a real-world situation where you have to manipulate objects.
Yeah. And a lot of the puzzles, too, are clever uses of the touchscreen as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know how... You're in Chapter 2, you said?
Yeah. I won't spoil it for the listeners. But.
Okay. Well, you're in Chapter 2. There are some interesting ones throughout the game that make good use of the touchscreen. So... it's just a really cool game. I mean, it kind of flew under the radar. I talked about it a little bit before it came out, but I am just shocked at how much quality they packed into this cartridge because it's got a great, I mean, the story progression, I think if you're going to fault it for anything, it's that the story progression may be a little slow, but I think that's offset personally. I think it's offset by the quality of the writing and the characterization that the localizers managed to get out of this story.
See, I thought the slow pace made it feel like I was a guy exploring around a hotel trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
So I thought that I wouldn't have changed that.
It doesn't bother me. I just think if someone plays it, that might be one of their complaints about the game. But
oh, I see.
Yeah, it's a great game.
It's not for them then.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's definitely a fun game. I urge you, I mean, it's sort of obscure. So if you get a chance to pick it up and you own a DS, it is the adventure game to own for the DS, in my opinion.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
and again, you know, traditional adventure versus, like we were saying, the interactive novel. The major difference being in this, there are options that are not menus.
Right.
You have to walk your guy around. You have to choose who you talk to. You have to, you know.
And there are optional things to do as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've gotten the sticker vending machine quest yet.
Yeah, you get that right at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, well, it progresses, but that's optional. You know, actually, if you can miss doing that or whatever. But anyways, I don't want to spoil anything. It's a fun, awesome game. Check it out if you get a chance for the Nintendo DS Hotel Dusk Room 215. Real quick before we leave, today you will want to check out Puzzle Quest out for the DS and PSP, Earth Defense Force 2017 for the Xbox 360. We are going to I'm going to take a one-week hiatus. Dave,
I'm gone.
You're gone physically from this show next quarter. We'll find a way to get you back in here, but it's been great having you.
I know the
listeners have just appreciated your insight and what you've had to say and you being on the show. I loved having you here. Thank you so much for coming every Wednesday.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It really has been a great time. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Pleasure to co-host this one with you.
It's great to have you along. You're my perfect other half for this show.
Hey,
it's
we make
been
a good team.
Yeah. Alrighty, thank you very much.
Thank you guys all out there listening.
Thank you. Once again, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com, pressstart.thefighting.org to download the show.
I may be disappearing, but my website's going to stay up.
That's right, and he'll be there as well. We will be back 2 weeks from today, or 2 or 3 weeks from today, so don't quote me on that. I will be back. Press start here on KCPR San Luis Obispo, 91.3 FM. Game over. It is that little after ceremony that we usually call the press start post show, where we party for 10 minutes after having just a rough day. I can't believe Hunter Gao didn't call in.
I know, poor guy. Well,
poor guy. I better hope you're referring to me as poor guy. I sounded like a total tool on the air for 2 weeks straight.
I figured something's up. Maybe somebody was playing too many racing games and, you know, ran him off the road.
Or maybe someone was playing too many adventure games and found out too much and had to be whacked.
Maybe he was playing too many games.
I don't know what happened. Partly my fault, partly his fault. Who knows? But
I guess it happens. I mean, you know, if he forgot, he forgot. If he's got something going, he's got something going. Nothing we can do.
On your last day, he can't even have the decency to call in on your last day.
I'm going to get him on Skype and like do another one of those pirate radio shows.
Yeah, no, that would be great. And then do like a 10-minute grill session with him. Really press him hard.
I should just have a bunch of questions from you on Stinger.
Like a soundboard,
just
you know?
See if I can convince him that you're there. I'll have a bunch of questions, a bunch of non-sequiturs, and a few colloquialisms.
Speaking of non sequiturs,
oh,
there will be no bathroom surprise.
I remember these.
Yeah, of course.
All the quotes you've taken from me over the last year, so every time I say something dumb on the air, put it on the stair.
That is a lot. Yes, I'm kind of sad. We won't be able to generate any new ones. I'm gonna have to like pretend you're here and make you say stupid things. I can have a whole conversation based around like Oonga Boonga or nose pinball.
You're gonna have to. You're going to have to take the things I say over Instant Messenger and put it through text-to-speech.
Yeah, I guess. With Microsoft Sam or someone. Yeah.
You know, we'll find a way. Like I said, depending on where I end up working, I still might be able to free myself up.
I'm going to be so lonely in this room. I'm going to sit here by myself. I'm not going to have anyone to be stupid. I mean...
You actually ought to look for another voice here. I mean,
yeah,
as much as I would like to call in, as much as I love the show, like, honestly, I think it'll work better for you to have a guy in studio, and then I'll just sit back and do web staff stuff and occasionally do a random other episode and be like, hey guys, remember me?
Where are
you? Tour.
It's gonna be like the one thing when I do this show by myself, I can't make stupid comments because then it's just me being stupid and there's no one to like sort
there's
of
no one to chuckle at
take
him.
Up
yeah.
the yeah there's no one to take the slack, and I don't know, it's gonna be tough. Hopefully you'll return every so often, or you'll be involved in some way.
If I can. Well, if nothing else, I'm your website staff.
Yeah, that's true. You can, and you can, you know, during the show, you can jump on Gmail and send me obscenities.
There we go. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, disrupt the whole self-flow.
We've already got somebody who does that, so just get a couple of chat windows going.
That's true. It'll just be me. All you'll hear is me typing on the keyboard for an hour. It'll be like,
Uh-oh. It'll be like Zen chat. You hear that. Tick, 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 tick,
tick, tick. What is the sound of one hand?
What's the sound of another guy chatting? Yeah. then you just join the chat room. There's your radio show. All you hear is the tip tapping. Every once in a while, a curse.
It's like a metronome.
That'd be an interesting feature, like a chat program that picks up your microphone and listens to you every once in a while, just to hear all the things you say or react to when you're chatting.
It would be interesting, yeah. Or how many times during the day you talk to yourself. I think people talk to themselves way more than they realize, I think.
Yeah, I know I do. Well, sometimes when I'm talking to somebody over AIM, if I'm being really sarcastic, if a friend of mine's in the room watching me, I will say the exact opposite of what I'm typing. I suspect it would get pretty funny to actually hear that.
The thing I found is that ever since I got Oblivion, I think they have like Patrick Stewart or Ian McKellen who does the opening narration.
That's
for
the Patrick
game.
Stewart.
Patrick Stewart.
And the joke is that they spent all their money on voice acting on him for his like 3 minutes of dialogue, and then after that they were just like interns.
Yeah, because
janitors, let's go.
Yeah, because like there's like 5 different voice actors in the game for like hundreds of people that you have to talk to.
Maybe they just all have a common parent. It's really, the world of Oblivion is just kind of inbred. All those gates to Oblivion, there's gates all over the world, so they all kind of connect to the same place. Every once in a while, everyone get all drunk, they go out on a bender in Oblivion, and all come back, and now they're all got the same last name.
The thing about Patrick Stewart thing is, I had in my head for so long the line where he goes like, "You must find him and close shut the jaws of Oblivion." And I would just say that to myself, just around the house. Not even when I'm playing Oblivion. Just like
whenever you close the door to your house.
Yeah, no, I get out of the
school,
shower.
Close the door to Oblivion.
I'm really ashamed to be admitting this. I would just like get out of the shower and be like, and like for no reason other than the fact that
you
I like the way Patrick
nerd.
Stewart says it.
Can you imagine stepping out of your shower and actually ending up in Oblivion though? Among other things, that would be hot.
For one
and
thing,
naked.
Yeah. For one thing, I would be really, really kind of unhappy to step out of my shower into Oblivion. Kind of wet and wearing nothing but a towel.
We haven't
if
even
that.
Got your towel yet if you just stepped out.
Well, I like to dry off in the shower.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So I don't drip on the floor.
Well, so Douglas Adams says you're equipped. Douglas Adams says you're equipped.
That's true. Well, if Oblivion is indeed within the galaxy.
That's,
or if it's not.
Well, doesn't a towel still apply outside of the galaxy, though? I mean, did he ever qualify that? I mean, he's dead now, so we can't ask him, but...
Yeah. Well, shows what a lot of good towels did him. But I mean...
Ouch.
Ouch, that's me. No, I like Douglas Adams. He's a cool guy, I guess.
I enjoyed his books. Well, I only read... Wow, I guess I only read one of them, huh? Hitchhiker's
For shame,
Guide.
For shame,
yeah.
For shame. The best ones are the... Well, they're all really great. I can't really choose. They're all just amazing. But...
Well, I'll read through them
okay,
soon enough.
Good. You're not going to be on the show anymore, so, you know.
I'm spending all my time reading, yeah.
There you go.
Well, so, I guess
so,
that's
but no,
it.
No, I mean, stepping into Oblivion. I mean,
okay.
Yeah. I guess that was
well,
it.
I haven't played the game, so I have no idea what it looks like.
Neither have I.
I assume it's full of fire.
I've spent 70 hours playing a game called Oblivion, and I haven't gotten to Oblivion yet.
Have you died?
I've died once
that's
or twice.
Similar to Oblivion.
Yeah.
Well, so I always wondered how that works. They have a gate to Oblivion.
Yes.
In Oblivion,
no,
what is there?
I think it's just kind of like a fire and brimstone type of
hell. If there's anything, they missed the point.
Yeah. I would agree.
Like, you should step into a gate of Oblivion, and the only place you can go is out, another gate of Oblivion.
Or, like, your console resets.
Yeah, and it just wipes your character as you step inside.
It's like Steel Battalion, only RPG style.
Now, we need to make some new games that use that controller.
Yeah, I agree.
Steel Battalion RPG.
How about Dave Hampton's Driving Away from San Luis Obispo Real Simulator?
Where you just sit there and listen to music on the radio.
You listen to Orange Lounge Radio and you walk your mech down the highway.
That's why I usually leave on Sundays or on Mondays if I can, because then I have their recordings.
Oh,
or I'll just queue them up for a week. But I sent some stuff into them this last week, so...
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
So I want to hear theirs. Actually, today it probably posted while we were doing this show. So I'll go home and listen to it.
So you're telling me the people of this small podcast, this small unknown podcast, aren't listening to us? On Press Start.
Small unknown podcast. They're one of the biggest gaming podcasts out there. That is
I don't want to hear... Okay, what are they paying you? You some shill? You're an Orange Lounge Radio shill,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I am.
At least you're
Nothing
honest.
Nothing wrong with that.
At
I
least
mean,
you're honest.
It's my favorite show. Honestly, I think they do the best job out of every podcast I've listened to, ours included. So,
well,
it's
maybe I'm happy you're leaving. Maybe I'm happy I'll be doing it by myself, huh? Have you ever think of that?
Well, they can swear on the radio.
Oh, wait, I can swear too.
Only during the post show.
You're an ass.
There it is, boys and girls. It's good reporting. They've got folks on the inside, and pretty much, you know, all the stuff I used to bring here that you're like, man, Dave, where'd you get that? I just stole it from them.
Well, yeah, of course you did.
It's a good show.
You weren't fooling anybody. You weren't fooling me.
I fooled you for like 6 months.
That is not true.
Ass.
I was just playing along. I was the mole.
I didn't even know who that was when I mentioned it to him 6 months later.
That's just a minor detail. We don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, they are a good show, and actually, where I'll be moving to is very close to where they'll be recording, so I'm trying to make friends with
them. Maybe you'll Benedict Arnold me and go join.
If I Benedict Arnold you and end up going and joining their show, all I'm going to do is keep plugging this show. Same way I plug their show all the time on this one.
It's good to know that you're even-handed. I like that.
Yeah. No, I'm just in favor of good video game radio, and I like to do what we can on ours, and then I'd like to help everybody else do what they can on theirs, and then listen to it when it's awesome.
Sweet. Well, before we end today's post show, I did want to give a couple of shout-outs. Jesus Freak DK, I believe is his name. Games Are Fun user, he listens. Thanks a lot for listening to the show and the kind words on the site.
You Games Are Fun guys are great. We like you. We'd like to see more of you. I know most of you guys don't really comment on our show because you're already commenting all over gamesarefun.com, but, you know, drop us some comments off. I don't read all those, but I do read ours.
Thanks for listening. Also to TerpFen, another GAF user who has some nice opinions on things, so...
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Dave, once again, it's been a great pleasure having you on this humble little radio show.
Well, hey, thank you very much.
And we will make sure that we work you in somehow in the future. Good luck in your future endeavors.
Thank you very much. Hey, good luck with this show. I understand you're trying to move into radio as a career.
Yep.
Well, I think you got it set.
Thank you, sir.
If nothing else, you got this project. You got a few years' experience here. We're going to keep it going.
Indeed, and hopefully I'll be able to tie it in to other things. So.
Awesome.
Well, that's about going to wrap it up. We will be back in a couple of weeks once the spring academic quarter starts. You were listening to Press Start. See ya.
Bong, 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 do, do, do. Do, 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 do.